gold-plated diapers.
Jelly folk, welcome to another episode of
Flapdoodle Forum,
the show we discuss the strange occurrences in society and culture
and provide our insight and feedback for you to enjoy.
Welcome to the show. Tonight we have a special guest.
Oh, who could that be?
I don't know. He was on last week. What were you, Dave?
It's me.
What's
Dave?
He?
I'm
he
here
was on the last
again.
Flapdoodle Forum?
Well, this past.
Oh.
He was on the last coin. Well, let me. Yeah, I'm sorry. Because we alternate. So,
yes.
So, yes. How you guys doing?
I'm doing all right. I will say that I think I've been on Last Coin more than Flapdoodle at this point.
Well, you didn't start coming on Last Coin until recently.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like
somebody'll have to check. By the way, Lucas, do you still have that text I sent you about... All the 15-minute word in, you know.
Oh.
I don't know how to say it exactly. But
that would have been like, actually, I pasted it to Matt's wall, and I've talked less to Matt in text messages than I have to you, so I probably have
you can find
it, pretty
it quick,
easier
probably.
On Matt's.
I can't believe you actually took the time
okay.
to do that.
It only took like 40 minutes. I just like went to went to each one. I just jumped into 15 minutes, wrote it down, jumped to the next one.
It's pretty awesome.
All right. This...
Well, you have to explain what it
you
is.
Have to get
I know. I was about to. Dave? No. Me? No. You. Who? Somebody.
Who was it, Dave? He would know.
Well, I was listening to your last episode, right?
Right.
You were talking about conspiracy theories,
yes.
And you said something in that episode about somebody should go to the 15-minute mark of every Flapdoodle Forum episode and take the first word spoken at the 15-minute mark.
Was there ever a point where it was like in the middle of a word?
See if it undeciphers some conspiratorial message.
I don't know how much time you had, Dave, but going through every episode at the 15-minute mark until the most recent.
I did it while I was eating dinner.
Thankfully, this wasn't no U-turns, otherwise you'd be doing it forever.
Yeah, I won't even attempt it with no U-turns.
Okay, so I have it here in my hands, Dave's hard work, deciphering our secret code.
That we've created over the last 3 or 4 years.
Oh, should we share this, Matt? It's pretty secret.
The public needs to know.
All right.
I mean, they could go in and find it themselves.
I go and go, Matt, accidentally. But because anti, like global projects, I most slavery cars, a make, I uncanny. With rupture temporarily right, you this way heed, I 1000. Okay, all right. But for world like that, her isn't accept, people never. And to no longer mouth curiosities, Kolkata enjoyment of deal was freaky report. Years scary then.
The crazy thing is that's almost a coherent message. Like in terms of like its structure, it almost kind of makes sense.
Well, the way he said it helped, you know,
yeah.
He broke things down.
I did break it down. If I read it as a continuous stream. Yeah.
If you just read it off like Ben Stein and Ferris Bueller, he's just like, one word at a time, I go and go. Then it would be boring.
Something
but...
about something about you and Kolkata. What's going on? So,
the Kolkata one got me.
If any listeners can decipher what that means.
Was that some article in some country... Matt was talking about in an episode or something.
Kolkata?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't even remember that.
I feel like I do.
What was it then?
I don't know. But I remember you saying, I can hear you saying, Kolkata. Kolkata, Kolkata, Kolkata. Do you remember being Matt's voice?
Yes, it was Matt.
I'll have to figure out which episode it was and go back and figure it out.
Well, you could count.
That's what I'm...
Each word.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, guys, we have things,
stuff
we can't remember, Dave.
Yep.
We got to keep this to like 40 minutes. because we'll run out of memory.
Okay, well, you guys go first, because mine's really short, and it could be cool. Well,
mine's rather short, too.
All right, so we should do your short, then my long.
And then
your short.
Dave's short, so it's like a sandwich.
All right, yeah. Nice.
All right, so...
two pieces of flatbread between 18-ounce steak.
Sure.
And you're the steak.
Mmm.
Flapdoodle's never been this delicious before.
We're going to make a flapdoodle sandwich, and Lucas is the meat.
So, my story is technology related.
Yes.
Ah, yes. And I was hoping to get on one of these science or technology. Yeah.
I know that's usually your job, Luke. This isn't medical focused.
Well, I've got something medical focused.
Oh. I can always count on you for that. This article is off a site called The Roosevelts, which I've never heard before, but it seems pretty legit.
As in the presidents.
Yes.
TheRoosevelts.com?
It's actually RSVLTS.com.
The Roosevelts. All right.
It's called, "These Bionic Boots Could One Day Soon Allow Humans to Run 45 Miles Per Hour."
What?
What? What? So there's this dude, Kihi Seymour, who's always admired the incredible speeds of the ostrich and other land-dwelling two-legged creatures. With ostriches able to reach top speeds of up to 45 miles per hour, Seymour was determined to unlock the secret to their quickness. His solution? Super boots that literally add a spring to your step, increasing your force and speed. Many years and a dozen prototypes later, Seymour came to Maker Faire, to show off the latest version of his bionic boot. This prototype boosts his pace to a brisk 25 miles per hour, but Seymour won't rest until he can take the human body to the next level and outrun some of Earth's fastest land mammals.
So he'd have to, if he wanted to outrun the fastest, he'd have to get up to like 60.
And he's a huge fan of The Flash on CW.
He must be. If you're wondering, the world's fastest man has been clocked at a top speed of 27.4 miles per hour, which you sports fans probably know is Usain Bolt. Seymour and his company...
Yeah, we all know that.
Yeah.
You don't know that?
Seymour and his company, Bionic Boots, say the springs on the back of their boots emulate the Achilles tendons of an ostrich or a kangaroo. The company hopes to eventually add pistons to their top-grade aluminum and carbon fiber boots to help humans reach speeds of up to 45 miles per hour.
Is there a picture?
Yep.
Can I see it? So he can currently run up to 45 miles an hour?
No. The prototypes reach 25 miles an hour.
So just like...
But they're trying to make it so...
But he can reach 20 miles an hour just like a jog? Or does he have to sprint?
I mean, it doesn't look like he's putting too much effort in.
That's just like a kind of bad gif at the moment. But that'd be sweet. I want to run that fast. Although
when I have it in this mode, it looks better.
All right, so it looks like he's doing more than a jog, but not as...
He's not like all-out sprinting.
Not all-out sprint. So he's running, but he's not
sprinting. And then it shows the boots close up here.
That's pretty sweet. My fear would be that I'd be running like 45 miles an hour and then I'd
something.
Trip.
Yeah. I have the same concern. It seems pretty dangerous.
Like you would have to wear...
motorcycle helmet.
Like the outfits you wear for a motorcycle, like a leather jacket and stuff.
Imagine how badass that would be, though. Yeah. Just like running 45 miles an hour.
That'd be so sweet.
Past just people who are, like have no idea what the hell you're
the
doing.
The salt flats. Put those things on and just go forever. I want to do that.
Wasn't there a Monty Python bit where a guy was like running really fast and then he tripped over something and he just went flying?
So they're not available to pre-order or anything yet. I think they're still developing them, but they have working prototypes that reach 25 miles an hour. So
this feels like one of those things where they got the guy all geared up and they said, what could possibly go wrong?
So do you think maybe that could end up becoming some other applications to, like, soldiers? Do you think the military might be interested in this? I mean, I could see them wanting to have their soldiers run as fast as a car.
Yeah, absolutely. Or, like, public transportation, being able to run
to work, I guess, but I don't know how that would work logistically.
Oh, that would be cool. I wouldn't try that during the winter.
Oh, yeah.
For the summer, like, I would, oh, man. You could feasibly run to work.
The only problem is if you're going that fast, it would have to be like a straightaway. Like you wouldn't be able to like.
Well, you could still go like you know you're still going like short spurts too. Go pretty fast. You're like. I mean, you know.
I wonder how long it would take you to slow down.
So they seem to kind of work on the same principle as like those jumping stilts.
Similar.
But in a capacity that lets you run instead mm-hmm. of just jump.
Right, exactly.
Can you jump in these?
I don't see why not.
Or would they not be able to take the shock of, like, coming back down that hard?
It's a good question.
It's a good question.
You should contact Seymour.
Seymour Hoffman?
No.
That'd be a little hard.
Yeah, get out the Ouija board. We're yeah, right. Contact.
You have to use a medium.
Sorry, that's on my mind. They were talking about that in the latest the episode I was listening to on Harmontown. That happened.
So yeah, what do you guys think? You'd want to try these out?
Yes, I would. I absolutely would.
No interest.
I want to put them on and get on the track and just go. Like just
be able to live out all imagine, of your the Flash fantasies.
Yeah. Like you could. How fast could you? All right. What's the time that Usain Bolt doing? Running that fast.
What's up?
What was his time in the Olympics?
Oh, for like Usain Bolt?
Yeah.
I think he was able to do 100 meters in like 9.7 seconds.
So you can run a mile.
Math.
Yeah, it's kind of tough.
Yeah, I'm not going to bother.
So you run around, like, what is a whole track? Is that a kilometer?
A track is 400 meters.
Okay, never mind. 400 meters. And to do the mile run for school, you run around the track four times.
Yeah, it's not exact, though.
It's not exact, though. It's more like a... So that's four times.
Lucas, this is too much math.
1,600 meters?
Yeah.
Yeah, then you have to multiply that by... Divide it by 100, and then...
No, you don't.
160 times 9... Somebody tell me.
And then what happens?
Then you get how fast you can run a mile in those things.
Because pretty fast.
Going about 20 something like that.
Or, you know, you could just calculate how you go 45 miles an hour yeah. and then just do one simple.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. It seems like you would have to be like a professional runner because, like, to me, I would be scared to death to get in these things because I'm too clumsy a person.
I could see, yeah, that would be like my fears. I would trip. Although I don't ever trip when I'm sprinting. So, at least I haven't so far. I've always been good enough running. I could see you today. I could see you putting those on.
Yeah.
I'd want to have some pretty thick padding on me. If I was gonna
yeah,
try
certainly,
this out
I would certainly, I would certainly maybe put on like some kind of elbow and knee pads.
Mm-hmm.
Before I get a good sprint on and wear a long sleeve shirt and pants, but yeah, I definitely want to try it if it comes out to market. I don't know; it'd probably be crazy expensive though. And like, how often would I?
Yeah, why do you need to run fast?
The military
is cool.
A, it's cool.
It's more of a novelty thing, I
and
think.
And B. Well, the military might, because they're already trying to make exoskeletons that can help their soldiers run faster.
They
could
definitely use that technology.
Oh, every time I keep thinking of it. All right, now that I have it in my mind, I had saved an article several months ago thinking I might use it, but I haven't.
Okay.
It was about something else to help soldiers run fast, and it's like straight out of Titanfall and Halo 5, where
jetpacks?
They strap a jetpack to your back.
The thrusters?
Yeah. Thrusters on your back, and it helps them run up to like 20 miles an hour, I think, just by pushing you. So it's like,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Was it directly inspired by that?
No.
Because that would be an interesting coincidence
if
it wasn't.
Like the pack looked exactly like the little pack that's on the back of the guy in Titan. Not on your back, but like in the lower back in Titanfall. Like the closer your center. You know.
I think in Halo it's on
your
back.
It's on your back, yeah. But it's like the same thing.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Anything more, Dave? Or should we?
And soldiers are going to run over people.
I could see these running things be more effective than that, because then you don't have to worry about fuel or possible combustion.
Mm-hmm.
The only downside is like mechanical upkeep, but
I have no idea what these things look like, because
they're like
red
pogo shoes. Yeah, have you seen those? Those long stilt pogo things?
I've seen like a curved thing.
Yeah, it's like that but smaller, and made for running instead of jumping.
Okay.
Yeah.
That helps me, because before you said that, I was picturing the boots from the Mario Brothers movie.
Not quite.
No, not at all. No. It's like just it gives you like an exaggerated tendon, so it sounds kind of. But
do you remember
that's my
that?
Story. What?
Do you remember the Super Mario Brothers
boots?
Yes,
I remember it. I remember it.
Hell,
Lucas, your turn.
My turn.
You're up.
Next topic.
I'll read it here on my phone, so you can't see it.
Oh, you're taking a page out of my book, huh?
This one really blew me away, because I didn't know we were there yet.
What kind of artificially engineered organ are they making
are we
now?
There
like,
yet?
I wanted to do something spooky, but then I saw this, and I was like, I have to share this. All right, ready? Ready? This comes from...
Io9?
No, but I think it was... I got to there from Io9, or...
Oh my God! You posted that Power Rangers.
Yeah, the Power Rangers. IFL. Hey, do you see that?
Yeah.
The R-rated
really well
Power
made.
Rangers fan film.
But this comes from Earthware1.com, and I believe I got to it through IFL Science. So I hope this is legit. I think I looked it up somewhere else, but I'll have to
fact check.
I mean, I could be. I mean, there's pictures, so who knows? All right, ready? The artificial womb is born. Welcome to the world of the Matrix.
Okay.
The artificial womb exists. In Tokyo, researchers have developed a technique called EUFI, or extrauterine fetal incubation. They have taken goat fetuses, threaded catheters through the large vessels in the umbilical cord, and supplied the fetus with oxygenated blood while suspending them in incubators that contain artificial amniotic fluid heated to body temperature.
I just heard a cat.
Cipher.
Yeah.
Let me find the connect. How are we still on?
This sounds pretty science fiction-y.
The future of human reproductive medicine lies along the speeding trajectories of several different technologies. There is neonatal, accomplishing its miracles at the too abrupt end of gestation. There is a fetal surgery intervening dramatically during pregnancy to avert abnormalities. And there is technology that assisted reproduction, the in vitro fertilization, and gamete retrieval and transfer fireworks of the last 20 years. So we've test tube babies and stuff. So between a womb and air. So I really should have skimmed this. I'm sorry. I just have not had any time.
It's all right.
All right. So this is.
So this will be to grow test tube babies in.
So that's kind of like this seems to be all right. So that kind of seems to be like the direction that they would like to head, where you could gestate an entire organism over its lifespan. So right now, you can only what they've done is they can gestate a goat, as they've been doing. Here's the
whoa.
Oh, okay.
At like the near end of its term.
Okay.
So like you could the idea would be that say you have a baby that is born premature babies, ones that are born several weeks early. Technology has gotten to a point where we were able to like keep them in like a little warm box and kind of grow them. Sometimes they have some problems and whatnot. But with this idea, like even earlier than that, you could like take out the kid and stick him in this artificial womb. So there's no more, so that you have immediate access to the baby.
I'm picturing a future where people can basically watch their fetuses grow and develop.
Yeah, that's what I had that too. And through reading comments and thinking about this myself, there's a kind of an endless possibilities for this if it's perfected down to the point where you could just fertilize the egg and just stick it in this thing.
and then it develops on its own.
There would be absolutely no danger to the mother anymore.
Right.
None at all. And you wouldn't have to worry about that. And then, of course, you have the people going like, oh, well, what about, you know, you won't bond with your kid. You won't care about them. It's like, well, people adopt kids and love them just as much.
Yeah.
So why can't you grow your baby in a tube?
It's true.
Like, there's nothing but benefits from that. And, like, all you think is like, oh, we're cheating nature and whatnot, but then
you'd be able to make sure that the fetus gets proper nutrition and develops properly.
Yeah, you can give him the most optimum amount of nutrients possible. You don't have to worry about what the mother might consume that could harm the baby. Like, you don't have to worry that she's a smoker or a drinker or a drug addict, or she's consuming any other things that could harm the kid, or her environment is somehow contributing to those factors. There's no more risk. There wouldn't be any
people
more pregnancy
won't
risks.
Need to get pregnant anymore.
You probably would cut down on any kind of birth-related deaths, either for the baby or the mother or both. Or even there could be an instance where, like, the mother could be dying, and you could take the kid who might be in the middle of development out and stick him in this thing. You could also observe the fetus in its development and catch any diseases or problems that could be concurring and fix it real time without having to worry about doing surgery on the mother, because they already can do surgery.
They wouldn't have to worry about miscarriages.
No. Well, maybe not. It all depends. Well, actually, is that related more to the baby or the mother?
I thought it was the mother. I could be wrong, though.
Yeah, I really don't know. It could be the hormones of the mother and stuff. But with this, like, you're giving it the perfect amount of whatever it needs. So, like, babies could grow up and you kind of just fine. Combine that with you could have scary situations, though, where you end up with, like, designer babies, where, like, you just get together the perfect kind of genes and then give them the perfect growth.
Gattaca.
Whatevers. And then...
Right? You've seen the movie...
No.
That's a good movie. A good sign. So, Gattaca.
Okay. I haven't seen it.
Ethan Hawke, Jude Law. It's the whole thing where it's like, yeah, they start doing that thing where they just keep making these super babies, and anyone who is naturally born can't even, like, get a job because it's like you have to be a super baby, have these genetic advantages to do anything in society.
Yeah, that's kind of like the major downside. There, at the moment, from what I'm thinking, is like there's far more good that can come of it than bad. But that would be my fear.
And the whole movie is about Ethan Hawke, who is trying to cheat this system because he was a natural born.
I think it's like the idea, his perseverance
and his even though he has disadvantages, he also has advantages. You know, and if you try to make genetically perfect people, you lose that. You lose the random chance where it's somebody could be really special in certain areas while they might be deficient in others.
Yeah. Hmm. So I'd say before, like, just taking a random sperm from a mother and stuff, but if you can figure out if those two have some sort of genetic defect, then you can correct or something. Although gene therapy can probably even do it after the
also fact. I've talked to, you know, like, my sister and brother-in-law, they have a kid with Down syndrome, right? Mm-hmm. And that has its difficulties, and it's kind of like, all right. But how they feel about, you know, they love the kid, of course, right? And we all love the kid. It's a great kid. And they feel like when they hear stories about this sort of genetic manipulation, it's like saying that it's like, oh, your kid with Down syndrome should not exist in society. So we're going to create a society where that doesn't happen.
But then if it was corrected, the person still would exist. They would just have a fully developed brain instead of a slowed brain development.
But you kind of can see how they feel. Or it's like, this is the way, this is who she is. This is the way she is, you know.
I can see that.
You are saying that there would be a different. It would be the same person, but a different person trying to eliminate flaws. Mm-hmm. Like even me, would I be fundamentally different if I had all these different, like, genetically perfect stuff going on? Right.
It's Quagmire out there, guys.
Would I not have been bullied in school? You know, because.
Yeah, it's hierarchies for them, no matter what.
Because a lot of things that we struggle with, they do something called build character, unless they're so disabilitating that, like, a kid with Down syndrome, that's just the way the kid's going to be. But, like, somebody who stutters and has to work to get over that, that's an accomplishment, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
So what if
their struggle is part of what builds character for
people
them,
who have imperfections are forced to adapt. And
now what if she had been genetically fine, but then like some complications caused her to be oxygen deprived, which then made her in that condition. Hmm. If there had been a way to fix that, would they still feel the same way? Like, she was originally going to be fine, but then something medically went wrong.
Well, it's not something you want to happen.
No.
You know?
I mean, if they could have had the option beforehand, I mean, like, there's always hindsight.
No, they're the kind of people that would not have wanted anything, really.
Hmm.
Completely natural stuff there.
There's also reading in here. There's, not just that, it was kind of actually went off into like a whole other tangent about the whole oxygenated liquid stuff, like liquid ventilation, and how this could also be used to help people with weak lungs in the case of an unborn infant, like, you got to take it out, like a premature birth, yep, and their lungs are too fragile to take that, or maybe a sick kid whose lungs have a problem, like, or I think even like if they I'd have to search through the whole thing, but
so it's basically injured, finishing development,
finishing development or injury. Like, you could put somebody in this stuff and it would keep their lungs oxygenated but also supported so that they could breathe without too much strain, but there is the option where they have stuck whole mice or rats in oxygenated liquid like this before, and because there's liquid in the lungs, the brain thinks you're drowning.
Oh, okay.
But you're not. So this rat's just panicking like crazy until it dies. So, who knows?
So,
it's different from like a developing baby because they're already breathing in. They're already breathing in. What am I trying to say?
Fluid.
Yeah. Your lungs are full of amniotic fluid, and you're breathing.
Well, plus their brains aren't developed enough to.
Yeah.
Rationalize
so
it. Anyway.
So I don't know. Although there, you know, people who are put on like a ventilator and breathing for them. And they can still be conscious.
Leading off of that, would they be able to use this technology for, like, rejuvenation chambers and, like, putting people into stasis and stuff?
Good question. For, like, deep space
stuff?
I don't know. Maybe. That's kind of used as
like to deliver nutrients and keep them.
Yeah. Maybe. The only problem is that you have to worry about, like, muscle degeneration and whatnot. And whatnot.
It's science. They'll figure a way around it.
Science.
We have 12 minutes.
So we have 10 minutes.
We have 10 minutes.
To do Dave's story so I can wrap up the show. I'm going to run the timer, Dave.
Well, you know, I was just trying to play the Jeff Goldblum role for your thing there. It's obviously there are advantages.
Yeah.
But there's also the Gattaca aspect. It's
the
like.
Gattaca aspect. Well, then maybe there would have to be some laws put in place about that then.
And I think just naturally, a lot of people would want to have natural births and stuff, you know.
I would be...
There's a whole spectrum of people along what we have now, how far they choose to go and go through things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And how much they let take its natural course.
I would be, if I was a woman and wanted a kid of my own without adopting or anything, I'd be all, I think I'd be okay with it.
I'm all for more yes. options.
Yeah. Yeah, options are great. And if there's people who want to do the live birth stuff, that's fine.
That's what we've been doing for thousands and thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
Despite it being not completely perfect, but all right. Dave, you have 9 minutes, 30 seconds to do your story and discuss it. Go.
Well, I just want to say, but it's like all these things where it's like, yeah, we're all healthier and stuff, but then at what point do we become like the gray aliens who can't reproduce?
Well, that's when we go to other planets and start probing other aliens. The cycle continues.
Okay, but on a more serious note, it's not going to be free to say, how do you want your baby, right? There's going to be medical expenses if you want to take greater leaps. And if natural-born people are born with disabilities and advantages and disadvantages from their genetics, it'll be like, what kind of class thing happens there, you know? How we treat people with disabilities in society is part of, you know, like what makes our world what it is. And if we just treat it like that's something that should be eradicated, and I don't know. That's the whole thing was like of saying, oh, that shouldn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm saying maybe it should. Yes, it can be unfortunate, but maybe unfortunate things are needed in the world.
I kind of agree with that.
There's supposed to be a balance like that.
Next topic!
So, my story now?
All right, okay. Dave, show us, give us a little spookage. Tell us what's scary and
got 7 minutes of spooky.
What's scary to a Canadian?
Okay. Here's a story that happened back in the 1700s in Quebec. And it's a real event that inspired a lot of fictional ghost stories. No, sorry, not real ghost stories. Sorry. Just authors using it as inspiration. But it's still very interesting. And when you're talking about weird, this is a story that ends up connecting to P.T. Barnum.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
I'm ready.
So it's the story of a murder.
A murder of crows. And congratulations, Dave, on both of us not referencing Embryo. Last discussion.
Oh my God. It was right there. It was so obvious we just looked past it.
All right, go on. Canada.
So
it involves
this
a murder.
Is the story of Marie Josephette Corriveau. That's how it's Quebec, so it's French Canadian. It's actually why it was kind of hard to look up some of the articles about this because they were in French.
Oui.
So I'm just going with Wikipedia. This lady was, you know, she had a husband and lived on a farm and had some kids, but then her husband died. And she got remarried. Her second husband was an ass. And she didn't like him. Her father didn't like him. And then he died under mysterious circumstances with several wounds to the head area.
Okay.
And it was like, they found him in the stable. They were like, a horse kicked him. Yeah. Horse kicked him.
Of course. Pretty suspicious.
Yeah, that's the rumors started going around. You know, it's like, you know, they really hated that guy. Maybe they killed him. And this was during the Seven Years' War.
Okay.
So there was this British military occupying at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they started looking into it for some reason. And they held a court-martial with the wife and the father-in-law of this dead guy. And they were convinced that the father-in-law did it. But then, you know, and when he got convicted, he's like, no, no, it was all her. She did it. He confessed that he just helped her, that she's the one that she killed her husband with an axe, right?
Okay.
Right.
Okay, so that's the backstory. And that's, you know, it's a famous old murder story. But what's really interesting and caught my attention about this story and caught the attention of authors over the years is the capital punishment that took course. They hanged the woman, and then they put her body on display for weeks. Actually, I think it was a little over a month.
Okay.
Just
a month? Ew.
Yeah. In an iron gibbet, they just put her body on display in public, which, weird. That's a weird thing to do.
Any reason
why? The person's dead. The punishment, what's the punishment at that point? Who are you punishing? It's sending a message to everyone else? It's like, what? Eventually, they did take the body down and bury it in the gibbet.
Gibbet?
Yeah, the iron gibbet. So it's like these iron straps that held the head up, uh-huh, and the arms and legs, you know. And okay. It was hung from a tree.
Go on.
And the townspeople were like, can you not have that there?
But the rate of mysterious deaths in horse stables plummeted after that.
Maybe. But, yeah, that just inspired ghost stories over the years about, you know, this skeleton in an iron cage that was a phantom. You know, you'd hear the cage rattling at night. And so these were fictional stories. But that's a cool idea of it's like a ghost that's in a cage. You know, for some reason that adds an extra detail, and there are some really interesting drawings of this ghost in a cage chasing people through the woods.
Well, ghost in a cage!
How does it connect to P.T. Barnum?
Well, you see, that cage was dug up at a later date in the 1800s and was acquired, not exactly through legal means, by P.T. Barnum, who displayed it in his, you know, Hall of Horrors.
Where is it now?
Circus. I don't know where it is now. It's maybe in a museum or something, but you can see a picture of it on the Wikipedia article. If you go to Marie Josephette Corriveau, that's Corriveau.
I can't see it on the.
All right.
I looked at it. It was pretty cool.
Was it?
Yes.
What did it look like?
Fascinating.
Show me.
Looked like that.
Oh, and you stuck an old lady that killed people in that?
Yep.
In Canada?
In Canada, yes. Canada has capital punishment and ghosts, too.
Who
in their history.
Would have known? Who would have known? Well, Dave, thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to call this article, Canada Has Ghosts, Too.
Dave with thunk? Another
you know,
fascinating nugget from history.
You being so polite up there, you didn't think they would all have unfinished business.
I also love the idea of a Canadian ghost. That's like it would apologize for scaring you. Boo, sorry. anyways, wrap it up, Lucas.
That's pretty funny.
Thanks, Dave, for that lovely ghost. Oh, we never did American ghost stories.
Didn't have time.
No time.
Dave
well,
would be
folks,
perfect for that.
Thanks for listening to this episode of
Flapdoodle Forum.
We've been your host, Lucas Wilson, and
Matt Buckley.
With your guest host,
Dave Halstead.
If you enjoyed this episode, may I suggest you hop into our website at psychojellyfish.com to find this and other podcasts. You can also subscribe to us on YouTube, iTunes, and the podcast app Stitcher. Please rate and review. It really does help with the show. If you're a fan, you want to help spread the madness, give us a like at facebook.com/psychojellyfish or follow us on Twitter. I'm sorry.
keep it psycho.
Jellycast.
Good night,
Twitter.
Journalist listeners. You're revving up.
Oh, we just left. Matt, we lost your picture. If you're,
oh God.
And finally, thoughts.
Randos! Randos!
See if I'm at,
Lucas, you're not doing this fast enough. Come on.
In our comment section.
Like us. Comment on us. Go.
Keep it psycho. Could you take a note? Actually, it's too late. I need to tell you later.
I'll text you.